So if you, I want to start off today with the next din in the Mishnah. The Mishnah Tes, we spoke about these cases of Hefker, Akum, and Hekdish. So what's different about those cases is that either it's a case of no bailus, or it's special bailus of Hekdish, or there's a problem with the relationship between the bailim. That's the case of Akum and Yisrael, which we spoke about. Related to those discussions, I'm going to talk about Tanta the Chabur, the case of Isha, Ashes Ish, and Katan, which is also something special about the Bailim and how the Bailim relates to Nezikin. But first, let's just cover this line in the Mishnah, B'chol Mokam Chutz Merishus Miyuchedes L'mazeh, which seems to suggest that there's something special about Nezek that occurs within the property boundary of the Mazik. So how do you understand that, Dan, that at least on the face of it, the Mishnah says, if Nezek occurs Birshus HaMazik, or the Mazik commits Nezek, or is responsible for Nezek in his Rishus, he's not liable, simply because the Nezek happened in his own Rishus. So how do you make sense of that, Dan? What's going on here? Yeah, want to start us off? Okay.
You're allowed to relax in your own Rishus. You shouldn't have to have, be worried about all that.
Yeah, so on the face of it, it just sounds like, look, that's what Rishus is for. It's a place where you don't have to be cautious, or you don't have to worry about other people when you're within the protection of your own place. So the Gemara in Yevilim and Beis, elaborating on the Mishnah, says, Chutz Merishus Miyuchedes L'Mazik. That's a case where you're putter, right? You're not chayev. D'amar Lei, for the Mazik can say to the Nizak, Tur Chavishus my body. What is your animal doing inside my Rishus? And Rashi there explains, Shem Nichnas Shor Nizak V'Chatzar HaMazik V'Hiziko Shor HaMazik Pater. For the reason, Tur Chavishus my body. What's your Shor doing inside my Rishus? Now the Gemara doesn't really explain, right? So Eli gave us a nice explanation. You're allowed to kick back in your own hammock. But the Gemara doesn't really go that far in informing us the underlying principle here. So I want to point out that Amukei Yosef infers from this controversial halacha, Bershusi Maibai, Shamin and Mina, you can derive or infer from the Gemara's own formulation, De'i'ayil Bershus L'Rishus HaMazik, if the Nizak had permission to trespass, he had permission to be within the Rishus of the Mazik, Chayiv, then the Mazik is Chayiv for Nezek that he causes to the Nizak. So you can see the Nemuke Yosef thinks that there's something about the language of Turcha Bershusi Maibai that, like, hey, look, I'm Pater because you're trespassing, that if it was a permissible trespass or an allowed trespass, then liability would resurface. Because the only reason for the Ptur, it seems, for the Nemuke Yosef, is the fact that the Nizak wasn't allowed to be here. So the inference is if he was allowed to be here, then the Mazik is Chayiv. So I want to point out that's a bit different from Ellie's point, which seems to be that you're allowed to relax in your own Rishus and you don't have to worry about your property causing damage there. Here it's just about a permissible trespass or an impermissible trespass. Well, yeah.
Could you do
that I'm going to watch it for you,
But Rebbe says, no, until I say, hey, I'm gonna watch it, then I'm not liable for any damage that occurs to your stuff.
Right.
All right, the Mishnah says, dealing with the case of Nelach Shor Bala Bayez, and Hichlis Roshusa Bala Chasakaya, Rabbi Yomer Bukhulan and Rabbi Yomer Chicago Bala Bishmur.
Yeah.
So read the Mishnah again.
So it says, the Mishnah is talking about Nelach Hu Shor Shor Bala Bayez Chaya, Nachal Avorah, Vizim Shmeinu Chaya, Chaya, Lidu Bila Chok, Mishnah is Kofar Fine, and Hichlis Roshus, Bala Chasakaya. Rabbi Yomer Bukhulan and Rabbi Yomer Chicago Bala Bishmur.
So isn't what's going on there? So there the question seems to be, am I mekabel achrayis for your property that comes into my rishus?
Isn't that explicitly what the question should be here too?
Here it sounds like the difference is the question is whether you can be chayiv just qua nezikin for nezik that happens in your rishus.
This is also qua nezikin. This is just my shore versus your shore when you enter my rishus.
When do I become liable for damage that my animal caused to you?
It's not talking about a broader sense of shmira.
But there it's about kabbalah, like kabbalah sachrayas.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. That clearly, at least according to Rebbe, at the very least, it's subject to machlokas as to whether or not permission leads to an acceptance of liability.
Yeah, we need to understand what the nature of permission is before we do.
Sure, but I'm just saying the Rebbe Yosef takes it for granted that permission equals acceptance of liability, and based off of this random gemara earlier in the Kabbalah, he passes that.
If your question is textual,
I mean, it's not really textual, but it is textual also. The point is just that I don't know how the Kabbalah makes this assumption. It's not a logically necessary assumption. We see the Gemara itself, the Mishnah itself, doesn't make that assumption.
Yeah, we might say that. Movie Yosef is just saying that maybe this Gemara is taking one side and not machlokas on that side.
Well, what does the Gemara indicate that you mean?
That the reason for allowing the mazik to be pachet or shuso is a claim of turuf of rishus in my body.
But it's not logical that the opposite, that implies the opposite. That once you have permission, you now are always happy.
Yeah, well, and that's controversial.
Which part?
Once you have permission, you're always happy.
Like, the
Gemara
says one thing. The opposite of that thing is not logically implied. And
well, he thinks it is implied because the grounds for the patur is turuf of rishus in my body. But if there's a good response for why his shore is at your rishus, then you should be chayiv. Are there no more grounds for that to bother you? So he thinks the grounds for a patur and a trespass is very limited. I mean, it's limited to the case of where he had no rishus to be there.
So you have to say that this gemara is passing like that's coming against.
Right. That's the way you could solve your question from. Okay. I mean, how does the Mugiosif make sense of that machlokas? Then his answer is, well, this gemara is taking a side on it.
Okay.
But I think you could still divorce the issue by saying there the question is he mekabel shmira? And then liability arises through some contractual acceptance, like come over to my house, and as a security I'll even pay any liability any damages that you suffer when you come over for lunch. That's different from like asking, does the brute fact that the nezek happens in my rishus, is that sufficient reason to pater me?
Yeah, but just because one's focusing on the Torah, one's focusing on the field.
No, one's a special discalus where you're like almost indemnifying the Niza, or you're granting him indemnification. As opposed to the root question as to whether you're liable for Nezek that happens in your Rishos.
Okay, we don't have to discuss the Munzai, though. I don't think it's actually very relevant to the Sugya, but that's definitely not the case with Chavis and Munzai. That's the whole point. Rebbe adds in the qualification that you need to have a special edition of
according to Rebbe, you just have this din, right? It's just like.
Yeah, I'm saying that according to the Chavim, it is just the question of whether or not being in my Rishos leads to a Torah or Diyah or not. It's Rebbe who's Mechadesh that even in the case of Rishos, we have this added qualification and you need to accept Shmira. So it's not like the case is, I'm saying, please come into my Rishos and as a special, to make this enticing, I'll accept an additional level of Shmira upon myself.
Right.
That's clearly not like the establishment of the Chavim or reading. So it's hard to say, oh, but that's what Rebbe means, because then they're not really having machlokas. They're just talking
about it. Not sure. I'll take a look at the Sigurd and Zion. That's not my sense.
Okay.
I'll take a closer look at it. Ben.
I think that the phrasing of like, Shorfa, Torfa, Beder, Shusi, Mai, Bai, what seems to be the closest, that seems to me, is sort of the sheet that we'll see later on about someone going to someone else or shows to give, which is if they damage themselves. I mean, the phrasing of Mai, Bai is like, what do you expect? Like, you know, obviously you'd expect to get damaged. Almost like it's obvious that he would get damaged.
You're saying the phrase of Turkov or Shisi my body?
Yeah.
I think the phrase
is why there's a lack of fear of Shmira.
I think Torka Vishusi my body just means like, why is your shore here?
Yeah, that's the Mukiyosa's interpretation of it. The Rambam is saying what Ben said is that Iman, Shekia, like whatever the Lashon of Rambam is.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
Right. I'm saying that's the Rambam also has a, that's his read of Torka Vishusi my body. What Ben just mentioned.
Yes, that's, what was your interpretation of it?
Meaning like that like, what would you expect to happen? Like, it's obvious that you'd get damaged.
So I don't think that's the Rambam's reading of Torka Vishusi my body. I think the Rambam still translates the phrase as "What's your shore doing here?" Just he thinks that that has significance beyond the fact that it was an impermissible trespass. But so my point right now is just to say the Mukhe Yosef seems to have the most limited interpretation of the claim of Turcha Bershusi My Body, which gives rise to the Tur of Nezek Bershus Amazek. Hey, Don.
Yeah, I would just say when I was learning this, when we were doing Mem Zayin, when I was doing Night Seder, the same kind of came up that we're not going to talk about Mem Zayin. This is much more about like the Pshia, whose Pshia was it?
Yes, we'll get to that.
Almost as like the guy who's entering has the Pshia, and then once, like, there's a certain kind of like point where the Pshia is transferred. And so up until this point, it seems as though there's no Pshia. That's different from heaven.
100%. I think that's a good point. So we'll see. That's going to be a stronger grounds for a Ptur here. So, Celta, do you have something you wanted to say? Or you had your hand up before.
Yeah.
You're done? So I just want to point out, this is really, this question, whether Mukhe Yosef is right, is certainly a machlokas in the post-game. So you can see, for example, Pesach Choshen quotes it. It's really from the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Sadi Gimel. So, Hichnis Perosa Voshoro Bershus V'husku Ayudei Behemash Balabayis. So I bring my stuff into Noah's Roshus, and then Noah's property destroys my property. Nechalku aposkim, so I had permission to be there. So let's say if Isaac was here, I'd give the case where, let's say, Isaac invited me over for lunch for Shabbos, and then his dog destroys my shoes. Right, that's... that's the case. Well, my shoes, not my shoes, but it's the other people's
hopefully
shoes.
Hopefully not the other happens, though.
So, Yesh Omrim... Shebal hachatzer pater, ella imkein kibel ala beferush lishmar haperos o hashur. So your pater, unless part of the invitation was, look, you'll show up, and if my dog causes any harm, I'll pay you. V'yeshomrim shebenasinas v'shus lahachnes harizakilu kibel alav shmira. So you see, this is really the machlokas on Mem Zayin. Other people think no. Implicit in an invitation is acceptance of liability for any nezek. That's implicit in when I invite you over for lunch. I think this is really what's going on in Mem Zayin more. It's just a question about what's implicit in when you invite somebody over for a meal. So does Rishus to enter also imply protection from Zikin, like liability coverage? But you can see it's a contested point at whether the Nemuka Yosef is right, that if you're Ayel Rishus, then the Mazik will be Chaya for his damages. And there's 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Sadi Gimel also. So other Rishonim seem to clearly have a much stronger basis for the Patur than the Mukhe Yosef. So look here at the Meiri, for example, in Daf Tesame Beis, and he says, Chutz mirshus hamyuchedes lamazik, kilomar, ze shehitalnu shmiras habehemos al habaylim, v'im lo shimer shechayev l'shalim, davka chutz mirshuso, habirshus shelo, kigon shenichna shor shal shimon beis reuven, v'huzak shama yedei shor shal reuven, pater reuven. So what do you think the Meiri's point is?
What's he getting at for the basis of the
Patur? Avi, can you see back there, or is it too small?
Yeah,
I'll make it even a little bigger for you. So Avi, what do you think the basis of the Patur is? Take a stab at it.
Think about it.
Want to think about it some more?
The basis of what the Torah.
Yeah. Why are you putter for Nezek Sheh, for the Nezek versus Hamazek? Selter.
We were a team named Shmira on the island.
Yeah. The point seems to be that your duty of Shmira on your Mammon doesn't exist within the Dalid Kanfo, Dalid Arp, the Dalid Amos of your Rishus. Between the four walls of your Rishus. So it's not as there's a concept, but he thinks it's maybe it's like built into the idea of property rights. that your responsibility to exercise shmira is really in a public domain or somebody else's domain. But the whole point in having a private reshus, and this I think is exactly Ellie's point, is that you don't have to worry about your animals within your property. That's what's special about it being yours. So you could have a pit bull, let it run around your backyard, and if somebody else walks in, that's their problem. But the conceptual basis for the p'tur, according to the Meiri, is just this general idea that achiyus shmira exists only outside of your reshus. But like inside your reshus, you're off the hook from duties of shmira with respect to your mamon. Abi.
Isn't the whole reason why that's the case just because the shmira in your reshus is yours?
On the assumption there's no one else there. I'm not sure. I mean, I think you'd have to make an argument to say that this reduces to just some assumption that no one else is in your reshus. Because you might say, it's trespasser beware. Right? I mean, it's just built into the concept of it being your property is that you can relax your standards of shmira because it's your backyard. Right? I think that's Ellie's point.
But you can relax it for someone who's not supposed to be there.
But even with respect to someone who's there, because it's not their reshus, so the burden is now on them to exercise caution. But the point of a reshus is that you can kick back and not have to worry about other people, even if it's the mailman who comes there every day. The mailman knows that when he's on the street, he's protected by just like the general laws of society. When he comes into your private reshus, the burden is on him to exercise caution. I think that's why it's stronger than that first rationale. And so he rephrases it in this very broad way. Zeshe etalu shmiras avhemos ala bailim, blah, 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 is not because of your shuso. Of your shuso, you don't feel shmira. I think it's a very nice idea, and it speaks to the rights and privileges that people can exercise in their own backyards.
So the Meir would have a really strong opinion that Chatzah Shutfin is someone else's field.
Yes, so you have to figure out exactly what he thinks in the Shutfin case.
Say that based on this.
Oh, yeah, it's also somebody else's, and there you do have a Chiyuv Shmira. Ben.
Yeah, I think we had seen earlier in the year the case of the bees in
someone's
field, sort of also got even more so case of this, was sort of like, even if something in your property causes damage to something outside your property, you still have this fundamental right
to enjoy your reshus.
Even if it causes damage outside.
Yeah, except there it's a little trickier because it's not clear that the relaxed standard of shmira within your property could give you a heter for the times that the beast crossed the boundary into the neighboring property. Right? But it's a similar idea. Similar idea that you do have privileged rights to your reshus.
There it's about your right to enjoy it. So you have to be entitled to use it. In this case, it's more that you just don't have any burdens of shmira within your backyard, within the four walls of your...
It's a good question whether you'd be liable if the bees go into someone else's property. Like, not only if someone walks into your property and the bees...
Correct. You should be pater. Right. It's like a trespasser beware, literally. Right. And he knows that you don't have a chiyuv shmira in your backyard. Rishus. Right. So it's enter at your... The enterer bears his own risks. That's just the nature of walking into someone's private rishus. Right? Yeah, I think it's a good point. Donnie, you had your hand up? Or Jonah, did you have your hand up? No? Okay. So the Rambam, so this is the Meir, and you see the Meir's justification is a little stronger than what the Yosef has in mind. The Rambam in the Maman Aleph Zion may have something else in mind, different from these ideas. Noah, you have?
Yeah, sorry, I just want to...
Pre-Rambam thought, or?
If that's...
You're pushing back on my reading of the Meir?
Yeah, and not necessarily your reading, just the idea of the Meir, there's no few... Shmira on your property. So then, if that's the case, then why in the next phrase does he then limit the nature of kicking people out of one's property or kicking one's objects out of one's property? Why does he limit the ability to remove someone's objects from some property from destruction? He doesn't allow you to destroy things. He says. We know
you have negias to this question, right? trying to burn that poor guy's Mishnah Berurahs. You should disclose your conflicts before you...
A good psychologist knows their biases.
Right.
No, but seriously, if it says... Why is there a he when it's via dayim if there's no he with shmira and rishut in general?
Well, notice that zeh sheitalon shmira sabahemos doesn't logically pertain to hezek via dayim. Right, Adam Amazik. And it's not just that even, right? It's just, it's like you don't have a chiyuv shmira for niske mamon in your backyard. You don't have to worry about your dog or your cobra or something.
But it doesn't give you justification to punch somebody who happens to be in your backyard. They're totally separate principles.
Yeah, but this is, I'm not punching somebody. I'm punching this guy's dog.
But still, it's about the chiyuv shmira that you have on your own potential mazik.
Well, why does it make sense?
Right, it's Zeshe, Talmud, Shmira, Sabahemos, Alabaila. Because logically, it has nothing to do with Kosha, Hizek, Kubi, Yadayim. The Torah still imposes a Chi of Shmira on my fist, no matter where I am.
Why? Why shouldn't I be able to exercise? I want to go around doing MMA in my backyard. Why should it matter that the ox dog came into my retreat and I punched him in the face?
Donnie's going to respond. Donnie's upset by your comment. He's going to...
I don't see how those would be related. What's it called? You have the right to like to relax and not have to actively protect, actively guard your objects from attacking other things. So like that's part of being in your own reshus.
Right.
Who says that Hashem gives you the right to punch someone in your reshus?
I have the right to exercise my reshus.
It's not exercising. You're allowed to, that's what I was saying, passively and actively. You're passively allowed to.
Nozick has a famous line where he says, my property rights to enjoy my knife don't entitle me to leave it in your back.
Who said it? Nozick,
Robert Nozick. The greatest of libertarians is noted that there are some restrictions. That's the point. And the point is here, yeah. I mean, there's nothing about your right to enjoy your property which allows me to put my fist through your skull in my backyard.
It's not unique to the reshut. What's unique about the reshut that you don't have to?
Well, it's a special heter for niske mamon, right? Meaning.
So that it is limited. I just don't. Why would we propose the underlying rationale for this is that you can be more relaxed in your own property
in terms of your chiyuv shmira?
Because
you have a dog, you want to let it run in the backyard. You have cats.
Why should there be a distinction between Niske Mamon and Adam Amazik?
Because where your fist lands has nothing to do with your property rights in your backyard. But it does have to do with where your cattle roams. And that's the, right? Is that?
Yeah.
That's the intuitive distinction. Leah, do you want to respond to no or you're good?
I agree.
You agree?
No.
Chas v'shalom.
I agree.
Right. So the Rambam here has a broader formulation, I think, an Aleph Zion. You can let me know what you think. So the Rambam here writes, general principle, kol muad mishalim nezek shalem, etc., etc., tam is chatzi nezek. So the Rambam is introducing the idea of niske mamon here, right? Bamed dvar amurim b'shen nichnesa ha-behema l'rshus ha-nizak v'hizik ha-sehu. Aval im nichnas hanizak lirshus hamazik vehezi kasehu behemto shavala bayis hariza pater al hakol shaharehu omer lo ilu lo nichnas to lirshusi lo higia lecha hezek. Very interesting idea, right? So he's saying the Norse Rambam reformulates the Gemara's idea. The Gemara's phrase is just proof of lirshusi my bayis, or short doing my rishus. The Rambam interprets the Gemara's claim as an argument. Counterfactually, had you not been in my reshus, the nezek would not have come to you. And then for good measure, the Rambam makes up a zeres hakasuv, and he says, "Ahare b'chorish b'torah, the shilach es b'imro v'yir b'sadaka." And as Narmal points out, actually, it's very, very strange for Narmal to do this, the tzarachim, to be krodzet, the vikr shev v'shem v'regel, which is the v'pachim reshus shneim, or reshus hamazik, the v'pachim, the v'karen, ain't in vikr as the tam elah. And that positive here said the Akar changed the regular on somebody else's reshus. But the Rambam appropriates it for all Pturim for Reshus HaMazik. And notice the Rambam reformulates the Gemara's justification of Torah Reshus Yimai Bai.
Is there a reason you didn't underline the quarter part of the Rambam?
The main of Pturim for Reshus Yimai Bai. Well, I underlined it in the Rambam. I was complaining about the Rambam formulation. So. I was like, when I'm wrong, this whole thing was underlined.
Not that it stopped me in the past. After camping for a week, I felt that shit.
No tie for your lives.
Yeah. Well, you can't go from camping back into a student.
If they reintroduce slowly, it comes out.
So, what do you think is going on here with Rama?
So, I mean, the Gesta Costa, I think, is very suggestive that he thinks the Torah is telling you that ubir b'sel da'akar, nezek, fundamentally, is something that occurs in somebody else's rishos. Right? It's not the kind of thing that happens b'sadecha. But then what do you make of Rambam's reformulation of the Gemara's phrase, torfa b'rishos my body? Ilu lo nechnas l'rishusi, lo higi elecha hezek. Eli.
It sounds like for the Rambam, like, there would never really be a case that one could collect the funds in, like, a Beis Din situation, but at least in the Gemara's formulation, okay, in this case, it's not going to work out, but there's, like, a theoretical case in which, like, I would be liable to give it to the Rambam, and since he gives us, like, counterfactual... Like,
well, what do you think is significant about, conceptually significant about the counterfactual? Right? Ilu lo nechnasta l'rshusi lo yigia l'cha hezek. Right, so in the Gemara's phrase, Torah b'rishus my body is the indicative, right? It's like, your animal shouldn't be here. In the Rambam's phrase, it's like, the Nezek would not have occurred but for your entering my rishus.
Yeah. Yeah, Rambam's formulation changes the causality, whereas the Gemara's formulation focuses on the visibility.
Yeah, so what do you mean that it focuses on the causality?
They say that really I'm not the Nezek because
yeah.
You have your own animal.
Exactly. It sounds like the Rambam's saying that, like, no, Mr. Niza. You cause the nezek to yourself by trespassing. Right? But it's a nice reformulation of the Gemara's phrase. And the Gemara's phrase is just like, look, you shouldn't be here. And the Rambam takes that to mean not just that it was a forbidden trespass, but it's like you brought the nezek onto yourself. Now, see, some of that form have that diak in the Rambam. But that diak works out very nicely with the Gzeres HaKosu. Right? Like, the mazik is not a mazik because the nezek shouldn't have been there. The Nizak is considered to have brought the Nezek onto himself. The Rabag has the best formulation of this. We actually had seen this Rabag earlier in the year. And he talks about who Hashorish Ashlishi Hushli is Chayev Hamazak Bishkaga im Haya Hanizak Hua Poshea Yoser Bhagas Haneziklo. Remember the Rabag held that the Nizak, the Mazak can't be liable if comparatively, the Nizak was more poshea than the Mazik. Right? So the comparative shia between the two parties was greater on the Nizak than it was on the Mazik. So he says, V'chein ha'inyin im ha'yu shnehen... Oh, sorry. Ki'ilu tomar shazar ha'es ha'emem v'hutzi v'hoshu v'kibo. It's as if I throw a rock, and you threw your head into the rock. Oh, shenichnash l'rshus ha'mazik shalom v'rshuso v'hutziko v'shkaka. So included in his explication of cases where the Nizak is poshea yoser hamazik is a case of nechnas l'rishus hamazik. So you see, the Rabag thinks that the basis for the ptur of shurcha v'rishus yimayvai of nezek v'rishus hamazik is that it's considered poshea de Nizak. I think that works out very nicely with the Rambam. Jonah.
We just jump back to the Rambam and clarify how you saw the pasuk fitting in. Were you arguing that, and therefore, because of what we just suggested, that the blame is just as much on the Nizak, not more than the Nizak than the Mazik, therefore, when we quote that Pasuk saying, she left this B.O., there is the out there, and it needs to be that the Mazik is the active and cause, and, you know, let's say the person at fault for the.
Understanding. And you're saying maybe it has a pain obia. I mean, it has to be like the.
Right.
As if the Mazik is the actor.
Right. And in this case, he's not. He's not.
That's a very nice reading, I think, of the pasta. You basically Jonah's reading? He's saying maybe the Gzeres HaKosu just like answers the Rama's objection. Like maybe the Gzeres HaKosu is not so much about like Sadeh Acher, but really like Kain Shavir,
Shilach Hasbira,
Shilach Hasbira, right, or Kain Mishilach. That like the Mazik has to be the perpetrator, whereas in this case, he's like the perpetrator. Right. That's one way, that's a very nice way of reading the Rama. I think the simple shot more is that we decide the Akhair requires, like, you know, the Mazik searching out somebody else's rishos. Whereas if you search out the Mazik's rishos, it's not going to be
But you're right, I think your point connects the Shia Denisa with Exeris Acosta very nicely. Whereas on the more general reading, the best you can do is say, Exeris Acosta shows that there's some fundamental tour. What that fundamental tour is that it's Shia Denisa, not the Maisa, the Mahdi.
No. Another document in between the Rambam and the Iri is that for the Rambam, you're Pater Alakol.
Yeah.
You have blanket permission to do whatever you want.
Not just Nizke Mamon.
Right.
Right. We'll see, he's still not going to like Bemezid. I mean, Adam Achovel, Adam Amazik Bemezid, Rambam's not going to accept. But Adam Amazik or Shusa Bishogay, Rambam will think you're Pater for. Whereas in Iri, if he thinks that's Pater, we'll have to offer a different rationale. That's not about Nizke Mamon. It's not about relaxed Shmira on your property. 100%. Hey, Don.
Yeah, it's just been a classic case of who's Shia is that one. The other is the Ramban's answer to other more when you're sleeping.
Also, Shia Denizak.
Correct. He says, oh, it's Shia Denizak when you put the Kleenex thing. I was sleeping, and therefore your Shia outweighs the other person.
Yeah.
The second thing I was using the Ramban, is it so the Vira Stanfra, that's, Shia.
Notice, by the way, I think the Ramban would also hold that even if you're there, arguably, even if you're there, Bershus, that Mazik would be putter. Even if the Nizak is there, Bershus, the Mazik would be putter. Because still, you entered at your own risk, right? I mean, you have to be careful when you... But go on.
Well, what about Karen?
For who?
He's talking about... He says, you see Karen for the Torah, which is just be
no, even for Karen. That's Rambam's point, is that even though the Rambam's clearly using this Xeris HaKasuv beyond just Shane Borrego. That's what's so interesting about his use of the Xeris HaKasuv. That's this Rama over here. It's out here in the Mikra Zeb Shem Regal Dichsev, and the Rama is clearly using it for everything. See that?
Yeah.
Now, an interesting nachkamina here about what's the basis of the tour for Nezek versus Hamazek. So you see, we kind of have three different rationales on the table. We have the Muki Yosef, who just thinks it has to do with a non-permissive trespass. We have an Iri who thinks it has to do with relaxed chiv shmira on mamoncha in your ownerships. Then we have the Rambam / Ralbag who look towards something more fundamental that's considered Shia Deniza. So an interesting nafkamina is raised by Yor Sameach. So suppose the Nizak brings his fruit basket into the Mazik's property. And then the Mazik's dog eats the fruit basket. So we know there's no Chiv Nezikin. That's clear from what we just learned. But is there going to be a Chiv Hana? Like Shane Varegel versus Sarabim, you're going to have to compensate at least for the Hana value. So would the owner have to compensate the person who left his fruit basket there for the Hana that his animal received in his own Rishos? So Selter, what do you think about this question?
So like Rambam is he's not doing something because his own parent to be by the foul animal, therefore there shouldn't be any payment for Hana. So like we already were, there's no free shmir on the Baal, but we can still pay much of it.
Yeah, very good. All right, it seems like it'll depend on exactly this question. The more you think of the Purim here are based on these weaker justifications, so then there's no reason why you shouldn't pay the Hana value. And as Selder's pointed out, even on the Meiri's justification that I have no chiv shmira for my animal in my backyard, you can make the case that I still have to compensate the balaperos for the hana value that I received. Because even though I'm pater from the deacon, still I should pay you for the hana that my animal got at your expense. But, though our Sameach suggests, if the p'tur here is based off Pshia Denizak, that the Nizak kind of just forfeited his rights by entering your property, then maybe it's Havakilu Hu Hamachmis Hechil Perosa Lobehekta. It's as if this guy just walked into my backyard and started putting food into my animal's mouth. Of course he can't charge me for that. It's his Pshia Legamri. It's like he threw his Kalim off a cliff into the Hudson. So if it's really Pshia Denizak, you can make the case that the Bialim wouldn't even have to compensate for the Hana value, and the Ptur extends beyond the Ptur Nezikin. A tour from Nezek and additionally a tour from Mehana.
So the Gemara Ben Zion continues and brings this case, and the Gemara asks the question of why isn't the owner of the food chayav when the owner, the property owner's animal gets sick from eating too much? And I think that's right in line with this thing. And if you're saying that that's like the most extreme version of what the Orsamant. The Orsamant is saying, oh, the guy's Shia, therefore there's no reason for you to compensate. But the extreme version is saying, oh, if anything were to happen to the owner's cow who's eating the food,
right,
then we can make you liable because it's Kilo you're feeding him himself.
Right.
That's
right.
Like even more. That's
even
more
further than this.
Well, that's the conclusion. I mean, there is an assumption.
Train your animals
before
better.
That, there's a serious argument before that saying, hey, you know, you're fired because you made my animals sick. And they say, no, obviously, we'll call this or, you know, we should have limitations on how much food we should feed.
But then why would we use this for a year?
No, my point is that the Havamina is even stronger than what the Orsamant is saying. The Orsamant is saying that, oh, just like the Rambam, that the Shia that is by the owner of the food who leaves the fruit there, then you can't help him, you know, be okay, it's his fault, he lost down and the fruit is gone. But there's another step you can make. Let's say the owner of the field, right, his cow eats so much that he gets sick. Right? So you'd be saying that the fruit owner is damaging directly the animal himself.
Right.
It's even more extreme than what we're saying here. I mean, it's like, yeah, there's Shia, but then the Shia turns into the fact that you're chayav for what you did to the animal.
Right, so the separate question, why wouldn't we apply the principle of Havamina Shelo Yochal?
In this case.
In these cases, right? Because there the conclusion is that the intruder is not chayav because the Baalbite's animal shouldn't have eaten it. So
right.
Too. Like, if the Baalbite's animal shouldn't have eaten my stuff, then we should be chayav for that now.
Well, I mean, he shouldn't have eaten your stuff, but you still shouldn't have left your stuff in his rishus, or the fact that you brought your stuff in the rishus, which exposes the risk that he may eat it, it's considered as if you brought your poshe ba'atzmecha. So that's sufficient to undermine your claim for compensation.
When we say, when the animal gets sick, it dies.
That's different, right? That's only with respect to whether the trespasser is considered a mazik. Right?
Right.
That's the Sugya Mem Zayin. Here we're not interested in whether the trespasser is a mazik to the Baal Bayis' animals. We're interested in whether he can claim compensation for a service he provided the Baal Bayis. Right? And we're saying, no, he can't because he wrongfully entered. And his wrongful entry is if he put his own food, he willingly sacrificed his food for the Baal Bayis' animals. So it's one thing to apply that this principle of Havlik Lo Yochal with respect to the Shem Mazik of the trespasser. It's something else with respect to whether the trespasser was sufficiently poshe ba'atzmo that he waives his right to compensation. Okay, so I want to extend this this idea of the protections of the Rishus of the Mazik a bit further. So the Gemara in Chav Gimel Amud Beis talks about a case of Adam HaMazik. So far we've only seen really cases of Nizkei Mamon, of the first parak. So the Gemara here says, HaNichnas L'chatzer Baal HaBayis Shelo Bershus, V'nogcho Shoro Shel Baal HaBayis U'meis. This is not an Adam HaMazik case yet, but it's a Shor Shehemis case. So the Gemara says, HaShor B'Skilu Bailim Petur Min HaKofer. Bailim Petur Min HaKofer Mai Taima Adam Arle Bershusi Mai Bayis. So the Gemara here is willing to say that a property owner is pater from kofar. Remember, you pay kofar when your shor kills somebody. But yet the shor is still niskal, even though it killed in your protected backyard. So the Gemara distinguishes between the shor b'stila, which applies even b'rishus hamazik, and the kiyuv kofar, the bialim, which does not apply b'rishus hamazik. So Baruch Ber in Simon Teslav here, this has a few interesting formulations. And he says, he thinks that Havamina here shows, so he says, what's Pshat in the Havamina? D'may shayich l'mifter ha-shor miktala mishim adin d'rshus ha-miyuchedes l'mazik. So he says, what's the Havamina that you should be putter from skila, that the shor shouldn't be niskal? D'lechora ha-din d'rshus ha-miyuchedes l'mazik who didn't p'tur b'shmira. D'rshus ha-mazik ain't alav chiyiv shmira. So either here's mechavin to the he's mechavin to the Meiri, exactly. V'yim kain, ze shayich davka b'nezikin d'chiyuva d'bailim hu v'chiyuv hu mishum din shmira. But it shouldn't apply to chiyuv skilas ashor, which is a chiyuva d'shor hu. Right? It has nothing to do with the chiyuv shmira. So how do you explain the Havamina that the shor shouldn't be niskal if it's mazik v'rshus? So he says very interestingly, Hayanir Lomar de Din Ptur de Chatzar Hamazek who Ptur betashlumin. Kimo Din de Ptur Shein Varegel Bershisarabim. Shehu Din Ptur be Ikrachi of Tashlumin. Avalo Ptur Mishim Shmir Vaones. So he's saying maybe what the Havmin of the Gemara shows you is that not like the Meiri's idea that it's just a Ptur Shmir you can relax in your backyard. But maybe it's a stronger idea that there's never compensation owed for damage caused in your backyard. What does he mean by that? So he says, that's how the Gemara thought it applied even with respect to the Shor HaNiskal. Kivan dahave ptur be'etzem chiv hamazik le'inyan hachiv tashlumin v'chein have ptur b'chiv k'tala. So a classic of Baruch Fair, he's struggling with the formulation. So he says, it's a ptur b'chiv hamazik le'inyan chiv tashlumin. Notice, and you might say, well, why would a ptur with respect to tashlumin be relevant to a ptur from not stoning the shore? Right? What does a ptur tashlumin have to do with but you see, what he means by ptur tashlumin is really a ptur etzem chiv hamazik. That somehow the shei mazik is attenuated by the fact that it was done in your backyard. So it's not just that you don't have a chiv shmira, it's not just that you don't have a chiv tashlumin, as he seems to say over here. What he means is that, no. It's less of a ma'isa nezek because it happened in a protective reshus. Everybody see that? And that's why you would think that the shor shouldn't be killed either. And then he says, he comes back to the Rambam's idea. V'hine din zeh kemo din de reshus hamazek abin ezikin mitam echad de al yedei de nichna shelo birshus balo hanezek. The reason why the nezek is attenuated is because it only came about because of the nizak's trespass. Ubir hadavar, the yeshlo din shehu garam laatzmo hanezek, ubal hashor lo chashiv mazik klal alze, the din reshus hamyuchedes lemazik, hu ptur bahamazik gufa de inlo din mazik. So you see, what he wants to say is that there's something about your reshus which creates a force field around your being considered a mazik. You can't have a shein mazik in your own backyard. So then he's a little more explaining, insofar as if what he means by that is just that it's considered Pshia Denizak, then it makes sense, right? Denizak is considered to be Mazik Ba'atzmo, and that's why the Mazik is not the Mazik. But if he means something stronger than that, then I think somebody would have to tease it out further exactly what that means. Why is it that you can't have a Shem Mazik because it happened in your backyard? I don't know if any of you have thoughts on this. That's exactly what Baruch Bear is getting at, no?
Yeah, I mentioned this earlier in the year that the nature of property rights is that when you bring your property,
there's no shame mazik. Yeah, maybe that's what Baruch Bear is getting at. Yeah. He's like he's your good libertarian, right?
Yeah.
Meaning if it's in your backyard, you could do whatever you need to do, right? And there's no shame mazik there at all, right?
Yeah.
Liad, what do you think? I think that's what he's getting at, or he just means the pshia denizak. It does, in this last line, it sounds that way, right? Right. He switches off between these different ideas. Ptur Tashlumin and... Yeah. But if you just take the last phrase, it does sound like Noah's point that it's... Yeah, Noah.
Yeah, I wrote in the WhatsApp group, there's also Chazon Yechezkel that says the same thing as Baruch Ber.
This or Baruch Ber?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
There's no Din Mamo for Mazik.
No din mamon, meaning you can't be obligated to pay or something deeper.
Yeah, so that's the way that I
because here he's saying the inlo din mazik, which is a little stronger.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's what I thought he meant, meaning that there's no din mamon is similar to the catch-all. It's a catch-all for saying there is no proprietary rights for someone who's in
right.
I have to find that. That's easy.
The second I just want to clarify quickly is that when we say that there's no din mamon, it means that you write in theory if there's chiyuvatzis kedusha. I mean, you should be shomer, Hashem wants you, so to speak, to be shomer and get when it's chiyuvatzis, but the mice are not going to make you pay for it, as opposed to saying in shei mazik to be doing anything wrong.
Right, sounds like it. It sounds like it's not my cats can roam free in my backyard. I don't have to worry about other people in my backyard.
Right.
I worry about other people on their turf, not on my turf. Mm-hmm. That's my sense from the strongest readings of
right.
Clearly not the Nemuka Yosef readings.
Right. Oh, so the Baruch Bear is like Baal Shalom.
if he's saying that.
Saying both of those things.
Right. That definitely the words mean that, right? The words mean that. The dinner chosen mechadas the mazik who ptur b'hamazik gufa the ain lo din mazik. Whether he means what his words actually say is, right, it's a different question. But
yeah, I just think it's really interesting how we spoke about this in Seder, just like it seems to be like there's a very much limiting or making, you know, smaller of Shin and Regal as a mazik, right? As a mom, right? So he spoke about meaning what the type of tashim he's paying versus a rabbin, right? There is a tzad, especially from, you know, Ektos that we saw, that it might not be
nezek
at
right.
all. It seems like this isn't nezek either.
Right. He even makes the analogy to Shin Varegel versus Arabia. Right. Kimo din to Shin Varegel versus Shumjur, din to Rikrafi of Tashlumin. It's not nezek.
Right.
It's missing the same thing
like,
in your own Rosh.
And it's hard for me to say, oh, it's Dara.
But here it's Karen.
It's totally normal and like it's Matsui, but then like we're limiting it to like just a specific case when it's the Akhir.
Right. Strange. Selter.
Yeah, when he says it's Shin Regal, the Rab Shudin, Tor, Iker, Hachiyut,
Tashlumen.
Right, so I think it's back where he's saying that there still is a Shin Mazik.
Then the problem is, he says in this phrase,
yeah.
when he's working off that, Kivan de Havi Ptur, Beatzim, Chiv Hamazik, Leinian, Achiv Tashlumen. So remember what he's trying to do in this paragraph is he's trying to explain the Havamina why Shor HaNiskal, Bershus HaMazik wouldn't be Niskal. Shor Shehemis versus Samazik wouldn't be Niskal. If it's just a Ptur Tashlumin, how could you ever generalize from Ptur Tashlumin to Ptur Skila?
Right.
So you see clearly what he's really getting at, what he said in this next phrase is, Kivan Nabi Ptur Ben Etam Chiv Amazik Le'inian Chiv Tashlumin.
So then how do you explain that Shin Regal?
So the way Eitan's saying is that you see that he holds that Shin Regal versus Rab is not Mazik. The Chiv Hano is just because you're Nanam and Nisak Havero. But it's like that's just putting it so, so you don't pay Eitan for Shin Regal versus Rab, it's not Ketaras Nasikim.
So it's not a Ptur Mishum Shmir bonus.
So it's not like the Meiri that, oh, I just have no Chiyuv Shmir there. It's that there's no Shame Nezeth for...
Okay.
So if it's stronger than the Meiri, how exactly it's stronger, it's not clear if it's kind of Shmir Nezeth phrase like he has here, or this like stronger thing, there's no Shame Nezeth. See that? He's a little all over the place. That's the problem.
That line about Shin Regal, that's simply even against the Rav talks about Ptur Mishum Shin Regal.
No Chiyuv Shmira. We couldn't expect you to exercise Shmira.
That seems very important. Yes. Like the Baal can't be expected to follow his animal around all the place to make sure he doesn't do anything.
So we take away the Chiyuv Shmira.
Right. If I recall correctly, that's what the Rav says.
Right. Because then clearly, Rosh Meir assumes that he is more fundamental to our versus a rabbit. Somebody showed him seem to think like the Nizak is mafkir his nechasav and Rosh Hashanah or something.
Right.
Based on the Gemara and Yates, chaf. But yeah, I see your points. It seems to be in tension with that rush. Right. All right. So, bottom of page. Are we only on page 3 here?
Right.
Well.
Nah,
it's fine. I thought we could have breezed through this.
It's H2 in there.
Well,
kind of works differently.
Yeah,
I'm stuck.
That's right. So.
How is the showering situation up there?
They have showers there.
It's number one thing. It's
hard to change. That's good.
Anyway.
So, back where we were. So the Gemara on the test talks about Adam Hamazik, Birshus Hamazik. So I'm telling you, in case of Niske Mammon, the Gemara we just saw on Chav Gimel was about Kofar and Shor HaNiskal. We haven't seen any explicit Adam Hamazik cases. The Gemara on the test talks about Nichnas, Amar Rava, Nichnas, Lechatzi Balabai, Shalom Birshus, Vehizik is Balabai, so Balabai, Shalom Bokhaev, but Sheziko Balabai is Pater. And Amar Papa Lo Amar Nadu Lo Hava Yadabe, Hava Hava Yadabe Hezika Balavai Eschayev. My Taima Mishum Damarlein Hidi Scharushus Lafuki Lazuke Les Tacharushusa. So the important thing is, at least in a case of Shogi, the Balavai is Pater for being Mazik, somebody who's there. So what you see clearly from this Gemara,
is that the din of other mor leolam doesn't apply when you cause nezek in your own rishus. So you know, other is normally mor leolam inside the rishus you've been amazing. That's not true when the nezek happens in your own backyard, which is a very important exception to the rule. It's also interesting that we see if there's this fundamental difference between Adam HaMazik was Shogig and Adam HaMazik Bemezid. Because if you're Mazik somebody Bemezid in your backyard, then you're Chayiv. If you're Mazik and Shogig, then you're Pater. This is also true in the, if you look at the Rambam, has a nice way of formulating this. The Rambam starts off with a very general principle that Mazik Chaveiro or Mazik Mamamun is Chayiv and you're Mur Liolam. And he says, Bamed Varma Murim, Bershus HaNizak, Bershus HaMazik Eino Chayiv L'Shali, Melaim Kein Hizik Bizadon. This is very interesting. Way of carving out the exception. This is like this is an important exception to the rule. You're not liable to son in your own rishus. Okay, let me just point out that there are some interesting discussions in the Achronim based off the Gemara on Lamed Beis. What happens if it's your rishus, but it's a rishus where people are expected to frequent? So, for example, you're a store owner, and it's normal for people to come into your store to check out your goods. So, do you have the special protection of Mazik Rishuska when your Rishus is the kind of place that expects people to be Yotze Benitma? So, this is really my focus in the post-game. It's basically more on my base, but if you look here, it's a Koshen. Yesh omrim shalichnas v'beiso shal uman apilu shalu b'rishus v'apilu lo yada ha'uman shenichnas chai v'uman b'niske ha'nichnas k'ilu nichnas b'rishus. But you see, it's really a machlokas amongst the Rishonim. In the footnote here, he quotes the Tur, who quotes Rashi, "Shegam benichnas lechanuso shel nagar dino kenichnas lechatzar chaver shelo bershus v'im lo ra'ay ho pater." So you might say there's this important question here about the nature of a store, whether that, since if you have real rishus ayakid, or it's like rishus ayakid that's borderline rishus rabbi, because it's expected that people will come there to treatment. Interesting Supreme Court case about whether malls are allowed to, like a mall, a shopping mall, is able to restrict people's free speech rights. Like restrict them from handing out pamphlets and things. Because it's private property, on the other hand, but it's private property that's meant for public use. So the question was, like, do they have like special rights to exclude people under those conditions? So it's a very, very parallel issue over here, right?
Yeah.
The question is, normally, if it's your private rishus, yeah, first special allowances with respect to Nezek. But yeah, Machlokes Rishonim, but that's true in case of Chana Shel Nagar, where it's expected that people will be Yotze Benichnas. There's also discussion in the postgame about, the Ramah quotes this, about Poalim who come to get their paycheck. All right, so the question is that considered to be Nichnas Bershus? And you think if they're coming to Shinar for the paycheck, then it's for sure Shalom Bershus, right? It's like, as opposed to like a customer is coming to buy some of your wares and things like that. Yeah.
Even if it would be considered your Rishus, like as a kind of money or whatever it is, wouldn't you say, you couldn't say the response of the Gemara or the Rama, right? You could say, like, what were you doing here? Because like, you always want customers.
Right.
Like,
well, you couldn't say in the Nemuka Yosef, for a sense.
Oh,
the Nemuka Yosef sense, like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
But in the Rambam sense, it's more of a counterfactual. Had you not entered my domain,
yes,
then you would have been damaged. So you might say, well, look, yeah, of course I want you to come into my shop, but enter at your own risk.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're protected in the public domain, but once you come into my store, you know that there are certain dangers associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the Rambam's reading, you might even say that there's still a Torah Rishus.
Yeah.
Okay. So these might be some test cases for what exactly the Mechayiv, the Torah Mazik Rishus asks about.
Maybe.
So, now there's. Let me just conclude with one thought about the flip case. So, all these examples show that there's special protection versus a mazik. We also find that Nezek versus Hanizah could make the Nezek worse or more egregious than it would otherwise be in a neutral Rishus. So, just for example, you have the Mishnah on Kesavah on the base. So I was going to skip this Mishnah, but now I can get in. So the underlying section. So these are the cases of the Muar cases. Shor Hamuad is obviously Muad, and Shor Hamazik versus Hanizak. So the according to this day in the Mishnah, you're always considered to be Muad. Your Shor is always Muad versus Hanizak. I mean, the distinction between Tam and Muad only applies in a neutral Rishus, meaning either it's just a Rabim or a third party's Rishus. But once you enter the Rishus HaNizak, you're automatically Chayiv Nezek Shalem even for a short time.
It's like a Retarfon.
So this is a Retarfon. It's the marks. In Tezvav Mabes, the Mishnah doesn't explain what Shita it is. It's almost like a Stam Mishnah. But if you look at the Mishnah on Chavdal Mabes, it's clear that that's Machlokes Retarfon and the Chachamim. Exactly. But the idea here is clearly that Nezek that's committed in the Rishus of the Nizak is more egregious than Nezek that's committed. So in the same way that a Rishus can protect the Mazik from liability, it also makes the Mazik more liable when it's on Rishus HaNizak. So you see how Rishus bear on Mayas Nezek. There's much less literature on this other case, on the Rishus HaNizak case, except for Tarko. But it would be interesting to try to figure out exactly like why you should bump you up to a Muad. Right? So you might say, look, the common theme is that you enter at your own risk. Right? So I enter Rishus HaMazik, I enter my own risk that I may not be able to collect. And a Mazik enters Rishus HaNizak, enters at his own risk, that he bears greater liability or is held to a higher standard of Shmira when he's in somebody else's private domain. Eitan.
Yeah, I mean, just going back to this point that we keep making, but I think what's really interesting is if you hold, like, you know, I guess for our fair the consos, that Rishus around there is no Shein and Regel. The extreme change of it's not Nezek and then
right.
It becomes Nezek when we go into someone else's property, I think it's even more radical
right.
than what we're
right.
doing now. It's just really like it shows that it's
Rishus is Koveya.
Yeah.
Right. But it's one thing to say that for Shein Beregel, it's one thing and a separate thing to say that internally for for Tam and Muad for Karen. Yeah. Okay, obviously you should take a look on your own, the Sugya on Yud Gimel, but all the interesting cases of Rishus. Where there's a Rishus Lamazik and Lanizak to be there, and how we're Mechalik and Shein Beregel and Karen and those joint, people have joint rights to be there, but I'm not going to spend time on that. So, okay. So that's what I want to say for Nezek versus Hamazik. I think we should take 15 minutes to talk about Nashim, or should we just stop now?
You want 15 minutes? A lot of time to spend.
I was talking about that. A lot of time. I'll say, maybe we should save Nashim and Ketanim for Wednesday?
Yeah, let's save
Nashim and Ketanim. Okay. So Wednesday we'll talk about Nashim and Ketanim.
I'm going to do something.